Today's sermon title is, Are You Locked On? And this will be part one. So part two is coming next week. You got to come back. Are you locked on? You all know that Staten and I have been working on this YouTube platform, and it's been a tremendous blessing. And he's the one that's done all the work. I'm just the dummy that speaks. I'm just kind of the puppet, you know. But he does all the work, and he puts it out there. And we're over 60-some thousand views now, which has been amazing. It's really reaching. If we can reach one more for Jesus, amen, that's what it's all about. It's not about making money or doing anything else. It's just about reaching another person, somebody else for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you know that he has this thing attached to his phone, and it's called a gimbal. Is the name of it. And when I move, this thing follows me on his phone, and it follows me wherever that I go, which really makes it nice, because when we first started out, he had to get up and down, because he was struggling with the dumb thing. It was all kind of a learning process, but he's getting zeroed up now, even now. So once it's locked onto a person, it follows them. So no matter where I go, no matter where I move to, it follows me. Well, 2 weeks ago, you know, we had the regular podium that was up here, and you remember the flag that was over the podium, and it had the face of Jesus on that flag, and it said, One Nation Under God. Beautiful, beautiful. I wish it was still up here. Well, we had to take it down. And the reason why that we had to take it down is because the gimbal was locking onto Jesus' face, and it did not matter where I moved, it stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah! Staten says, Pastor, we're going to have to take that thing off, that thing down, because it won't leave Jesus' face. It's locked onto Jesus, and it won't follow you. So no matter where it moved, it would not leave the face of Jesus, and I say, glory to God. Amen. Pastor Leo is not the light. You're not the light. This church is not the light. We only testify of the light. Jesus is the light of the world. Amen. If we want to be successful in our walk with God, if we want to be successful as a church body, we need to be locked on to Jesus, because he is the light. Now turn with me to John, the Gospel of John in chapter 1 this morning. John chapter 1. Are you locked on to Jesus? Hallelujah. We need to be locked on to Jesus. In John chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 13. It says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of the men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Does the darkness comprehend the light today? No, it does not, does it? There was a man sent from God whose name was John, talking about John the Baptist. And this man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light that was true, the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Amen. Verse 6 says, There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And this man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. John the Baptist was not the light, but was a witness to the light. God's plan and God's purpose for your life is for you to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and for you to be a witness of the light that is in your life through Jesus today. In verse 9, it says, verse 9, that was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Now we back up in verse 4 again. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Jesus was the light to the world then, and he still is the light to the world today. Nothing has changed. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. We go back to the Christmas story, because this will be a series of sermons towards around Christmas time or the Christmas story. But in chapter 2, in chapter 2 of Matthew and verse 1, it says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east, they came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Wise men came seeking the star. We sometimes hear the word magi. From magi, we derive the word magic today. The teaching is that they were astrologers studying the skies to see the effects on human history. Astrologers do the same thing today. They will seek the answers from the skies and see how that's going to affect human history. So they saw a star. So I'm telling you right from the very beginning, these were not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and came to worship him because they were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're going to get to that. So they saw a star that broke scientific law because it did not move. It stayed in one place. So why did they say that they were seeking the king of the Jews? Were they believers? And the answer is no. So let's look at the prophecy that they were searching as well. That they were searching prophecy, trying to find out the answer for this, just like Herod's followers were saying, well, this is what it says, that he's supposed to be born here, and this is what is going on. Not that they were believers, but they knew what the Old Testament scripture said. Well, the magi, or the wise men, also knew the same thing. So save your place in Matthew, but go all the way back to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers. And if you're like me, it's one you got to look for. Numbers 24, verse 17. So 24, verse 17. Now this is what it says. I'll give you just a moment to get there because hey, we're early today. You're going to get out early. Man, your supper, your lunch is still going to be hot. So Numbers 24, verse 17. "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel and batter the brow of Moab and destroy all the sons of tumult." So what we see here, a star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter representing what? Royalty. Royalty. 1,000 years before the birth of Jesus, this prophecy in Numbers was given, and this prophecy was given concerning the Lord Jesus. Now we go back to Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2. In verse 2, he says this, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" They read the scripture. They knew a scepter was going to rise up out, meaning what? One that was going to be the leader, one that was going to be the king. "For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." But they were smart enough to know that the star was not the light. You get it? The star was not the light. It was only announcing the true light that was coming to the world. The star was not the light. Jesus is the light for you and I today. Look at what the angel told Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20, it says this. "But that while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The light to the world, he would be our Savior, and his name is Jesus. Mankind cannot, listen to me, mankind cannot save itself. We always turn to ourselves. We turn to within us. We turn to our government. We turn to our leaders. We have just gone through an election, and there's a lot of people saying out, man, there's a new sheriff in town. Things are going to change. Things are going to get better. All of a sudden, everybody's starting to look to man, and you got to stop looking to man. You got to look to God. Because it may be a short term. I hope things do get turned around. I pray that we do see a revival in this land. I read this week that Bible sales are skyrocketing. There's a number of people in the United States that are starting to turn their eyes to the Lord. I pray that we will see revival that will spread across this land. But it will not be because of the President of the United States. It will be because of the God Almighty that we serve today. Amen. Mankind cannot save itself. But we can receive it by the grace through faith through the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. The light of the world does not come from inside a man. Now turn back with me to Isaiah. Isaiah and chapter 9. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Last week I didn't speak for very long because the Freedom for Youth were here, and I stopped in and saw them this week and had a good discussion. Talking to my buddy Dave this week, he said, well, I really didn't think I got my money's worth this last week because you didn't speak very long. I said, well, you may have to give a little bit more today because I'm going to give you more than your money's worth today. So as you turn to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord hosts will perform this. Verse 6, if I read that again, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. This is one of the most read scriptures during the Christmas season. This prophecy concerning Jesus is amazing because it's not only looking at his birth, but it's looking at his millennial reign. But today, I want us to read a little more that is usually not read in the Christmas story. Go back to chapter 9 of Isaiah and look at verse 2. We're going to take it on. We're going to read more of it next week. But this is what it says in verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Darkness refers both to evil and ignorance in the Bible. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Why is this so important? Because mankind believes that the light of the world comes from within him. If we work hard enough, we can fix things. If we work hard enough, we can achieve it. Through our political power, through our intellect, through our innovation, we can get this world to submit to our will, and we will raise up a mighty nation and a unified world by peace within ourselves, and this, it cannot happen. We can fix things. But what it says in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to man, but its end leads to death. Man cannot do it. Mankind says, I've got this. Mankind says, I can do this. Brother and sister, the message of Christmas is not that we can put a world together of unity and peace. Actually, Christmas message is absolutely the opposite. The message of Christmas is this. The message for Christmas is this. Mankind cannot save himself. Amen. You see in verse 9, in chapter 9 and verse 2, at the very bottom it says, upon them a light has shined. The light of the world has shined on us. Christ has come. He is the light of the world. The greatest gift of all has been given. Have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And I believe that most in this church would say, yes, I have believed Jesus. I have accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But it didn't come from within you. It was the light that was shining on you. That light comes from out there. It doesn't come from within here. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, I go back there today. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. The prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Saints, not only at Christmas time, but every day of our lives, you and I need to be just like this candle, and we need to be locked on Jesus. Don't think this world all of a sudden is going to turn around just because we got somebody else as a new sheriff in town. We need to be on our knees for this country and for our nation, because this nation doesn't need a president more than anything else in the world. This country needs Jesus more than anything in the world. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord praise today. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and grace. Will you stand with me today? Father, we come before you today with praise and rejoicing in our heart, because everyone in this room can say, there has been a great light that has shined on my life, and that light was Jesus, and we praise him forevermore. Bless us this week and the days to come. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. You are dismissed.